Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here's another nice mess you've gotten me into.
All right, I got to stop using that, but this election seems to be suited to that. Welcome to this week's Left Ahead podcast. This is Mike Ball of leftahead.com and Harumph at harumpher.com. And I want to talk today about, I guess this is a rant, a modest proposal, not up to the standards of Swift, but nevertheless, an idea. I've been looking at why could people possibly consider Donald Trump, and yet we have, you know, almost half the voters say they will. Now, whether they actually do it is another matter, but almost half the people say they will. And you think about why that might be. And the people ask, oh, what are you happy with? What are you unhappy with? And people talk about this and that, and there's the made-up things that the Republicans talk about like Trump does, about, you know, the terrible dangers of the United States and how our economy is going to hell and how all that. And they're wrong. That's not true. They're lies. And the stats don't back up what they say. But undercurrents include things that really people really do feel. They feel like they're not getting the share of the growth in the economy, which is true. I mean, because it's slanted, so it goes to the high end. So that sense is true. Now, the cause of it is another matter entirely. But they're angry with that, and they're angry particularly with a do-nothing Congress. They look at this obstructionism that's going on, and they don't say, oh, these Republicans in both houses are just terrible. They're stopping all the good things. No, they're just saying Congress doesn't do anything, and isn't that terrible? They won't pass anything. They won't compromise. And compromise mean to the Republicans means do exactly what we want. There's no compromise in there at all. But nevertheless, they're saying Congress doesn't work. And Congress has, you know, it's like those silly hypotheticals they give them, like, you know, would you rather have more respect for bedbugs or Congress, and bedbugs win? Anyway, so you think, here we have all this craziness. And these people are thinking the worst things going on here is that the Congress doesn't do anything. So how do you do that? How do you make them do that? So let's just say Clinton wins the presidency in November, which is likely. Not a gimme, but it's just likely. And will that do it? No. That won't do it. But you think about it, if the other extreme goes all the way, say we have a Democratic president and a Senate, those are quite possible, and in fact even likely, and maybe people are so unhappy with Congress and the craziness of the Republicans and Trump that they give the Democrats a narrow margin of majority in the House. So you would have all three, the House, the Senate, and the presidency, the legislative and executive branches, belonging to the Democratic Party. And what would that mean? And that's a good question. I think, you know, I don't understand why the Democrats aren't marketing it that way. You have the Donald Trump coming out with his incredibly insulting, stupid things, saying to his black audiences, hey, what do you got to lose? You know, your whole life has gone to hell. Everything's bad about you. What do you got to lose? Well, they have a lot to lose. And you ask almost any African-American other than Ben Carson, and they will enumerate tremendous amounts, which is why his percent in the African-American community is between 0 and 2%. But, yeah, they know what they have to lose. But on the other hand, I don't know why the Democrats aren't pushing this. What do you have to lose? Well, you have to lose the obstructionism and the do-nothing Congress, for one thing. So then what do you give up if you have the administration, the president, pushing policy, and you have two houses of Congress that will vote those slim majorities needed? And I think it's likely that if you were to have all three, when it comes time for the session rules to be made, that the filibuster rule would not go into effect the way it has now, because that's relatively new. And if they make it a simple majority, a lot of stuff would get done, a whole lot of stuff. And that's what seems to terrify people. They are convinced, absolutely convinced, that if one party, specifically the Democrats, the Pinkos, get a majority in both houses of Congress and have the presidency, that terrific numbers of wild, pinko, communist things are going to happen. That's just not true. Unfortunately, I think it's not true. If you take a look at Congress and its voting record and see whom they're beholding to, particularly after Citizens United, you'll find out that we have a wishy-washy bunch of moderates on the Democratic side. I think at least half of the Republicans have just gone crazy. They think the only way they can win is to be way right-wing and really crazy and come down hard on women and minorities and just be nasty right-wing as you can get within our context. I mean, we have European context. We have the French crazies, but for us, it's, you know, we have a bunch of wishy-washy Democrats and a whole bunch of right-wing crazy Republicans. So what do you got to lose? Well, let's think about that. So you have a wishy-washy moderate Democratic president, Hillary Clinton. I mean, she's shown herself to be, a great compromiser like her husband, and she just, do anything to get something passed. So she will, make deals. Let's make a deal. So she'll do that. And she does not have radical left-wing policies at all. And she infuriates me with her lack of progressivism. But nevertheless, she's a moderate, a wishy-washy moderate, much like the Congress is now. So we're not going to see crazy stuff. I think, fortunately, she learned a lesson in her primary and her loss to Obama, that she can't be the war hawk that she is in her heart of hearts. So I don't think she's going to be able to pull a George Bush and try to push us into foreign wars. I just don't think it's in her, and I don't think that a democratically controlled Congress would fund her wars. So I'm less concerned with that. But think about, what are the policies going to be? And it'd be pretty damn tepid. I think people say, this do-nothing Congress. Well, it would do lots of things. And we have, say the CDC. It would fund the CDC, and Zika is spreading like crazy in the southern United States and coming up, and it's going to go be all over the country, and we ought to be fighting it, and they refuse to fund it. I think under a democratically controlled Congress, that wouldn't be a question. The House would find the money and fund the CDC and get the fight going, and it wouldn't turn into another one of those damn AIDS things like gutless Reagan did, denying everything. So you have the good stuff, and there's a bunch more needs to be done with universal health care and getting the Obamacare working right. And Congress has stifled that. And the same thing with job growth. Congress refuses, the House of Representatives, Republicans in the House of Representatives, refuse to pass bills enabling job growth. So that would change. But I don't see the problems that the crazy people who are delude themselves thinking, we've got to have checks and balances, checks and balances, checks and balances. Which is it's a good civics lesson cliche, and I like that one, and there are reasons for it, and there are reasons we have three co-equal branches of government. Wingers don't like the checks and balances when the balance is not letting the extreme right get what they want when the Supreme Court comes in and actually does its job, which is to interpret the Constitution. And when they do that and it doesn't come their way, that's just terrible. We ought to do away with the Supreme Court. They're going to do Franklin Roosevelt, pack the court thing. So that's crazy. But I think it works pretty well. But you got to say, people have a problem with that because they think, you have to have a divided government. They have to have a Congress with divided houses where the Democrats control one house and the Republicans control another, so that we basically don't get much done. And then they scream, Congress doesn't do anything. Well, sure, it doesn't do anything. And they know why, and they wanted it, and they got it, and they ought to either shut up about it or change it. And I think the Democrats ought to market that, and they ought to say the real version, unlike Trump's cavalier, what do you got to lose? Well, here we have the real question. Is what do you have to lose? What you really hate is a do-nothing Congress. We can fix that. We can fix that easily by giving them control over the Senate. So there are things that the Senate can do, like, well, actually move on a Supreme Court nomination, which is their duty. And the Senate, the Republican-controlled Senate, refuses to allow that to happen. So, yeah, we could get in Supreme Court justices. And you think about it. Now, what is it going to happen then? Because we've lost one of the evil guys, Scalia. He was extreme right-winger who loved clogging up the government. He thought the Citizens United was the greatest thing ever written, and it is probably the worst decision of the Supreme Court in this century and probably down to the middle of the last century. So, we have a replacement, and we get that done, and they wouldn't sit on it. Democratically controlled Senate would not sit on nominations of no matter who the president is. So they actually want to have things done. So they get that done. You think about, now, what is it going to mean to the Supreme Court? And you look at it, let's take a look at it. We have kind of a 4-4 down there. There's on the left, there's Ginsburg and Breyer and Sotomayor and Kagan. And then on the right, the other four, Alito and Thomas and Kennedy and Roberts. And granted, every once in a while, Roberts or Kennedy will, go otherwise. But if you look at the voting records on the decisions in the last 150 years, I'll put a link to a chart on that so you can see that it's actually been tracked and recorded. And the court does lean right, and the whole court does, and the decisions are right. And, we can fetch and moan, and maybe the right-wing wants 100% right-wing justices. But, it's been leaning right for a long, long time. And there have been very few extreme left-wing justices in the last century and a half. But anyway, I'll put the link on the chart up there on leftahead.com, and you can take a look at that and follow through, and you can see where it goes. If you think about now, who's up for it? Who would likely be replaced? Well, we're replacing Scalia regardless. So the next president gets a call on a replacement for Scalia. And if the Republicans had good sense, they would let Merrick Garland go through because he is moderate and he's likely to come down on the right side more often than not, or at least as often. But even if they don't, who else would be coming up if we have, say, 4 or 8 years of another president there? And you look at the oldest one, Ginsburg. I mean, she's a tough bird, but, she's 83. So she could be up for it, because any one of those, the youngest is Kagan, 56, but almost everybody on there is old enough to be ripe for cancer, heart attacks, strokes, all kinds of stuff. So there's no guarantee they're all going to be there. But if you just look at the oldest ones, there's Kennedy on the right at 80, and Ginsburg on the left at 83, Breyer on the left at 78, and then you get down into the 60s. There's the dreadful Thomas at 68, and Alito at 66, Sotomayor at 62, Roberts at 61. So you look at it, and it's 4-4 as it is now, and it's pretty much like that. Although it leans like the replacements are going to be more likely to be the left-leaning justices than the right, because I don't know anybody who follows the court who does not want to see Thomas gone. He's been a lump on there for, 24, 25 years, doesn't talk, and when he does make a decision, it's often wrong, and his crazy dissents are just beside this. Anyway, but you're not going to have a bunch of conservative justices retiring, and any one of them could die, but they're not likely to. The odds are Ginsburg should be good for another 10 years if she chooses to, and Breyer may be the same thing, but any one of these people could drop dead at a moment. Kagan is extremely unlikely to at 56, but nevertheless, we're not going to have a whole bunch of right-wingers out there retiring and getting plugged in with a bunch of left-wing replacement. It's just the odds are phenomenally against it because there's no term on Supreme Court justices. So we're not going to have a massive swing in the Supreme Court, but if we do, the greatest likelihood for that to happen would be if Trump gets in there and picks right-wing judges if the oldest left-wingers go out. So, I mean, that's really is not going to be a huge issue. We shouldn't worry too much about that. But you got to look at, you know, why aren't the Democrats pushing this thing? I mean, if people really want to, they can say, I will vote based on the fact that Congress is lower than bedbugs, and I hate them, and I want them to do something. So there's one good catalyst for Congress acting, and that is a fully Democratic-controlled D.C., 4 years, 8 years, whatever. And, you know, I personally would love to see the Democrats in charge at in 20 when the census comes up, so they could stop this terrible gerrymandering that's been going on. That's a disgrace and insult to democracy. But nevertheless, 416, I think we ought to look at it and think, okay, tell them, you know, you want Congress to do something, then get rid of all those obstructionists. Give the Democrats majorities in both houses, and give them a policy majority, a policy maker in the president, and you're going to see stuff done, and good stuff, and not doctrinaire the way some people might make it. So I'm going to call it, and my proposal is that the Democrats get out there and say, what do you got to lose? Well, you have a lot to win. You have a lot to win, and your biggest objection is a do-nothing Congress doesn't solve our problems. Well, we can do that. We can do that with a Democratic-controlled majority in both houses, and ideally with a Democratic policymaker in the White House. So I'm calling it two houses and the White House, three houses for Democratic control, and let's get this ship righted again, get it moving again, and the Republicans have shown they have no interest in good government or even governing at all. So I think we have a good chance of getting governance from a Democratic-controlled presidency and Democratic-controlled Congress. So go for that. And if the Democrats call me up, the DNC calls me up and says, what should we do? And I'm going to tell them in the last 2 months, you tell people you want to get Congress. Your big objection is that Congress doesn't work. We can make it work. The Democrats can make it work. All right. Thank you very much for my rant. Goodbye.
Round up the usual suspects.